Cincinnati-based Macy's stated that sales fell over 5% through November and December at the chain's department stores. The company expects its profit for the fiscal fourth quarter and full year to fall short of previous estimates and has announced that it would close 40 stores.
Amazon and Forever 21 are weighing buying bankrupt American Apparel, sources told Reuters.
After controlling the Craftsman name for 90 years, troubled department store operator Sears says it will sell the famous tool brand to Stanley Black & Decker.
U.S. President-elect Donald Trump taking to Twitter again, lashing out at Toyota for plans to build its Corolla cars for the U.S. market at a plant in Mexico. Toyota Motor said it will build a new plant in Baja, Mexico to build Corolla cars for U.S.? No way. Build plant in U.S. or pay big border tax, Trump said in a post on Twitter.
And this is much more like a classic old-school cyclical rally. What investors are playing is the chance for improved earnings, not in a quarter or two or three, but in a year or two or three.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. It is Friday. It's January 6, 2017, 5:10. Welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell. Welcome to another business day, the last for our first full week of the year in 2017. Glad to have you along. This portion of our show sponsored by Power Service Products. Very chilly morning out there. Make sure you check in on the Storm Center page, on our Weather Center page, on our website, WGNradio.com. The official Storm Center is there as well for cancellations and closings today. We'll have the very latest on the weather with Vic Vaughn in the news coming up this morning. Lots to talk about this morning. Paul Nolte is in-house from Kingsview Management. We'll join him momentarily about our portfolios. Later in the program, we'll try to get you somewhere warm for maybe a winter vacation. And Rick Cini from FairCompare.com will be with us to talk a little bit about that. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk for this morning, Dow futures are off about 9 points today. S&P and NASDAQ futures are mixed. The NASDAQ futures higher. S&P futures are lower. Crude oil, $54.23 a barrel. What's happening around the world today? A couple of big stories. First of all, there's a new poll out today talking about Obamacare. Nearly half of U.S. Americans either oppose Obamacare repeal or want to see a replacement plan first. A Kaiser Family Foundation survey out today shows 49% of Americans want the Affordable Care Act repealed. Another 47% oppose getting rid of the landmark health care law. But a majority of the respondents want to delay a vote to kill the Affordable Care Act, ACA as it's being called, until the details of a replacement plan for the law have been announced. Also today, the Japanese government coming out strongly defending Toyota Motor Company on this day, as a day after Donald Trump tweeted again and really took out the cannon against Toyota yesterday. Friday today in Japan, the government says Toyota is an important corporate citizen of the United States and says it is doing all it can to help this economy in this country, reminding, however, Donald Trump that Toyota Motor Company is a foreign company and really owes nothing to the United States. Also today, more on this Russian hacking. Senior officials in the Russian government apparently celebrated Donald Trump's victory over Hillary Clinton. This was an intercept of communications that U.S. intelligence got. Also, key pieces of information gathered by U.S. spy agencies include the identification of actual physical actors involved in delivering stolen Democratic emails to the WikiLeaks website. Yesterday, Congress was briefed, and so was the president. Today, Donald Trump will be briefed. Around the world today, global markets in Europe generally lower. All of them generally lower this morning. Asian markets are mixed. Well, it is 5:13 now here on the Opening Bell, and Paul Nolte is here from Kingsview Asset Management. Paul is a portfolio manager. He's one of the senior guys over at Kingsview Asset Management. Happy New Year, Paul.
Happy New Year to you.
Good to see you for the first time this year. You have a good holiday and everything?
Absolutely. Always good when the family gets together.
Well, we had a lot going on this week. Yesterday, I'd like to start with the retail, because the retail sector took it bad yesterday. What's going on?
There's a couple things that are going on. One is the Christmas season. We've been talking about it for a long time, is the Amazon effect. We've seen a lot of purchases going on over Amazon versus going to the brick-and-mortar retailers. We noticed it, too, in the employment numbers. The amount of people that are being hired at the retail side is down about half to two-thirds from what it was 5-6 years ago. So we're not employing that much in the retail space. We've seen Macy's, Sears, and a lot of other stores talking about store closings. So I think as more people are moving online with their purchases, we're seeing the deretailization, if that's a word, going on here in the United States.
So this is not some sort of funk that they might climb out of. This might be a permanent thing.
I think the trend has certainly been in place for the last couple of years, and we've seen it in the, you know, when you compare year over year same store sales for the big box retailers. Home Depot, some of the home improvement centers, not as affected. Kind of hard to get a 2x4 of 8-foot length sent by Amazon.
So, maybe by a drone soon, though. You never know.
You never know. But when you talk about clothing and other goods, much easier to order online, and certainly that has been the trend for the last couple of years.
I'm sure, like me and like many of our other listeners listening this morning, you probably have a garage full of Craftsman tools from Sears. Is this their last gasp, Sears' last gasp, selling this to Craftsman or Stanley?
Well, we've thought about it for a while. Eddie Lampert's trying to raise funds and trying to redo stores and suffering from a cash flow problem, and this will plug a hole for a little while. I'm not sure that this is the solution, but Sears has been contracting now for the last couple of years.
And Sears, I'm sorry.
Again, like many of the big box retailers, this is a trend that has been in place for a while.
Sears Holdings yesterday got a nice bump from this, but today their stock is just up a couple of ticks, and the overall chart is down. The arrows, I mean, you can see the peak and the valley there, big time.
Yeah, and again, you take a look at the year-over-year same-store sales and total revenue and everything else, and it's not a pretty picture. So from a pure analytical perspective, it's one that we would certainly stay away from.
Jobs report today, we'll talk about that coming up after the break with Paul Nolte of Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, some movers. Caterpillar is down almost 1%. And one of the other movers on the other side of that is Groupon, which is up about 4.5%. Hyatt Hotels off about 1.5%. And since it's Airlines Friday, United Airlines is off about 3% this morning. This is the opening bell.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. A mixed market yesterday left the Dow Jones Industrial Average 43 points lower at 19,899 and the S&P 500 down fractionally. But the tech-heavy NASDAQ composite picked up 11 points, closing at 5487. Payroll provider ADP says U.S. companies added a modest 153,000 jobs last month, mostly in service industries like retail and healthcare. Meanwhile, the number of Americans seeking unemployment benefits dropped significantly last week. The Labor Department says claims for jobless aid fell 28,000 to a seasonally adjusted 235,000. Analysts say employers are holding on to workers and likely will be adding jobs this year. Toyota stock is skidding in Tokyo trading after President-elect Donald Trump said on Twitter that the Japanese automaker faces a big border tax if it goes ahead with plans to build a new factory in Mexico. The automaker stressed that it's been in the U.S. for 6 decades and that the Mexico plant would not affect jobs or production north of the border. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's 521 on our Friday edition of The Opening Bell. And Paul Nolte is in the studio this morning from Kingsview Asset Management, going over some economic news and checking with portfolio investments news this morning. Paul, the jobs report comes out today. President Obama got his first preview of it last night, his last preview of it last night. Next month, it'll be Donald Trump getting the preview. What do we expect later this morning?
More of the same, probably in the 170,000-180,000 range. If we look at the ADP report that came out yesterday, that might be more on the downside, so maybe 160. Again, we're going to be looking for wage growth. We're looking at median wages that are growing at about 2.5 to 3%. They've been picking up a little bit. So the job picture remains decent. There is one fly in the ointment, if you will, and that's when we take a look at your wage withholdings. So there is a report that comes out monthly that takes a look at all the withholdings for tax purposes. And that number on a year-over-year basis has been declining from roughly 7-8% down to about 2% or so, which means that when you look at, again, withholdings for taxes, it's an indication of wages coming down or not as many wages being paid. that people are getting their taxes withheld on. So that could be a little bit of a drawback to the jobs report today.
We have said before that people have been saying the country might be at full employment. So that wage part of this is really what we'll be looking at moving forward here, unless there are some major moves the other direction.
Right. I mean, if we're at full employment, then it becomes very easy for workers to demand higher wages. If you're not going to pay me, then I'm going to move somewhere else where they will be very willing to pay me a much higher wage. So that's really the indication of how tight the labor market is. And since we've seen wage growth only get up to about 3%, we'd really like to see it, and historically has gone up as high as 4 plus in a very tight labor market like 2000, 2007. We're not there yet. So there may still be some room for growth before we really get into a tight labor market.
We saw yesterday, the day before, Macy's announcing 10,000 job cuts coming. When do big layoffs, big cuts like that start being reflected in the jobs report?
It takes a while, and, you know, we always see the headline number, Caterpillar did this, IBM did that, et cetera. But unless we start to see it in a lot of different industries, a lot of different companies, it tends to be more of a one-off. A lot of the employment growth comes from mid-sized, small companies, not so much the very large companies that you normally read the headlines on, though.
The other part of the news this week was we had to see the minutes from the December Fed meeting. Anything from those minutes surprise you? Or
it's the Fed, and they're data dependent. There's a little bit of a concern. You can't talk about 2017 without talking about the new presidency and policies, et cetera. And the Fed is just as concerned and unsure of what's going to happen as everybody else. So they're going to continue to look at the economic data and make determinations based on that. They've talked about 3 rate increases this year. Remember, a year ago, they were talking about 4. We got 1. So the markets actually since December, interest rates have actually come down a little bit from the early part of December. So they're worried. The markets are worried, but not a tremendous amount right now.
This year, as we start the new year off, I was sort of looking around for news about 401ks because I know a lot of people are interested in that. I think this year the limit is the same, but what surprised me is there's something called the Savers Credit that this year it's I found the story that says low-income families have an extra incentive to save. If they make less than $31,000 a year, or $62,000 as a married couple, filing jointly, you can qualify for a credit from 10 to 50% on the first $2,000 you contribute per person. That sounds like a pretty good deal.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the goal has always been for people to put money away for retirement. Because we don't have pensions anymore, very few and far between, it's really up to the individual to put money away, and Social Security is a safety net. It's really not meant to be retirement income that I'm going to be able to live out my golden years on. So I need to save for myself. This is a good time to be looking at your 401k. If you were lucky enough to get a bump in your salary, probably a good time to bump your 401k withholding as well, and give yourself a little pay raise as well on retirement savings.
We have a listener question sent in by Twitter this week about Bitcoin. Yesterday we saw Bitcoin, and it's been low for a few days now, but they wanted to know what Bitcoin is and whether that's a good area of investment or not.
Bitcoin has been around now for 10 years or so, started in 2006. It's what they call a cryptocurrency. So it's not anything that you can put in your pocket, you store in the safety deposit box or anything like that. Everything happens online. And really where we see most of the usage right now, 80% of the transactions occur in China. And Chinese have been using it to get their currency out of China, get their money out of China. So they'll convert the yuan to Bitcoin and then turn the Bitcoin into dollars. And that's their way to get the currency out. Transactions, there are companies that do accept Bitcoin transactions. There's about 100,000 transactions per day. Visa will see 100,000 transactions in a couple minutes. So it's slowly gaining acceptance. As an investment, it's hard to value Bitcoin. What is that worth?
Yeah.
So because of that, it's an investment, if you will, That we tend to shy away from.
Would you put it in that risky category?
Yeah, it's probably a few steps beyond the risky category.
But I was still surprised to see that, at least to this one report, it was the best performing currency of last year.
Again, as a currency, and it has actually tracked the Chinese yuan because, again, most of the transactions occur in China. So as the yuan was strong, or I'm sorry, was weaker earlier or late last year, Bitcoin was strong. We saw that reverse in the last couple of days, and that's why Bitcoin really dropped sharply.
So, well, you talked about we maybe should check our 401k, make sure everything's okay there, but what about our investments in our portfolio? What are you doing with them at the beginning?
Well, really haven't changed much. I mean, you know, the song remains the same. We still do like international currency, so we do like putting our money overseas. Emerging markets continue to be, I think, very inexpensive here. Even with the backup in interest rates, short-term bonds still look good. We're still very concerned about the valuations of the U.S. market, but as long as we see from a technical picture, more stocks going up than down, good volume on up days, and we've been seeing that really for the last couple months, we think the markets can grind higher from here. So we're not making any big dramatic shifts in our portfolios just yet.
Saw one of the Reuters business writers yesterday bring up a point about Donald Trump's tweeting that I hadn't thought about when he tweets about these companies. And that is, what if there were, number one, a hacker being able to see what he was going to tweet before he did it? And then, two, what if somebody knew he was going to tweet about a company before he tweeted it? Those are concerning things?
Anytime you talk electronics and we talk about Bitcoin being hacked the same way, yes, that exists. And we saw the AP get hacked a year and a half ago, and there were rumors that the White House was under siege and the market dropped 300 points immediately. So we do see those types of things occur. It has happened in the past. Normally, you'll see trading activity pick up. There are ways to track who is doing what kind of trading. So if somebody is front-running Donald Trump, the thought is, at least, and historically we've seen it, where they can source out who that is.
Yeah, it would be kind of, if something nefarious was going on, they'd know about it, or at least forensically be able to go back and check.
Yeah, we'd be able to go back. It may take a few months to do it, but we could do it.
Somebody would make a little bit of money in between, though, right?
Exactly, but the law says you have to give those back plus some.
Right, exactly. Fines, there's something called jail and the legal system there.
Exactly.
Paul, it's always good chatting with you. By the way, you can sign up for Nolte's Notes. Do you see how I said that? It came right off. Usually I have trouble with it. Kingsview.com/WGN. Paul Nolte of Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. Paul, have a great day.
Absolutely. Thank you.
See you next week. It's 5:30 now, and we will be back with news next.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. It is 5:37 here on our Friday edition of The Opening Bell. As the cold weather started to make you think maybe I need another vacation, another holiday break to someplace warm, we have Fair Compares Rick Seeney with us this morning from Dallas to talk more about that. He's with us as he is every Friday at this time. Rick, Happy New Year to you. I guess the first thing we could start with this morning is holiday travel. How did the airlines do? How did TSA do? What are you seeing there? And what do you say the report card was?
I think the airlines, for the most part, did a pretty good job. We had a few issues with Customs and Border Patrol yesterday, but, it's an ecosystem, right? It's, it's TSA, it's FAA. The radar system needs to be upgraded. We're still 20 years behind Europe, who has a satellite-based system. We're still on ground-based. So there's a lot of improvement that can still be done, but they proved they could do it. We saw TSA with terribly long lines in the spring, and they sorted that out over the summer. So it's definitely doable. We just got to make sure that all the folks are in alignment.
I know before the holidays, there was a call again for the pre-check to become free. That would save, they said, TSA a lot of money and people, obviously, a lot of time. Any movement on that?
We haven't seen a whole lot there. We'll have to see what happens as sort of they gavel in the new Congress and a variety of other things. Right now, I don't think that's the top priority on their list, but we might see some movement on that by mid to late next year. I think it should be free for folks that can to actually get that. A lot of people that only fly once or twice a year, they just won't do it anyway. So it'll only be the frequent flyers, and that's the ones that are gumming up the airports in some cases.
So you have your pulse on how things are going. It's been the delays I've heard about and the cancellations have all been sort of weather related. Have there been more over the holidays and over the winter so far?
Compared to the last couple of years, it was actually pretty nice. The southern part of the U.S. didn't have as many issues. There were a couple issues in the Chicago area and also in the northeastern corridor. We're seeing that same issue go through today with some pretty tough weather going through there. So, Mother Nature can be fickle. So a lot of times these things happen in January and February where the real issues occur. We did see a pickup last year during that same time frame. So hopefully it won't be quite as bad this year.
So we have to, as travelers, not only worry about our forecast and the airline, but also the airports. Why should we also worry about the airports?
The airports are important, right? They're the ones checking our bags, making sure that those baggage come through. A lot of new technology coming through with RFID. The airports are also connected up to the FAA, and they have to file flight plans and a variety of other things along with those things. The airport, its baggage handling system is part of the airport infrastructure. So, and we've seen in the past where they've even had power outages at airports in certain sections. So it's definitely an ecosystem where everything has to be all in alignment, and for the most part it is, but it's very noticeable now when you have every flight completely full how fast lines can back up when issues occur.
Yeah, we saw that with the customs things. Some of those lines were just unbelievable. Back to the weather part of this, though, airlines do what are called weather waivers. Explain that to us.
Yeah, so a weather waiver is related to an airline saying, we know that there's going to be issues before your flight. We're going to waive the change fee, and you can actually cancel your ticket if you like in some cases on these weather. You can actually book anytime you want to along the way or cancel your ticket. Now, they're doing these in a way where the last two or three years they've actually hired meteorologists. They're actually predicting the weather, where it's going to be. They don't want to see a bunch of people in cots sleeping in Chicago airports overnight, and so that means they have to be able to contact you. In many cases, the flight schedules will change. They actually rebook you to a completely different day. You need to make sure the day before, at least the day before, maybe a little earlier, actually log in, take a look at your reservation, make sure your email address and cell phone number are attached to that reservation so they can contact you in these particular instances. I tend to do it right at sort of the 24-hour mark, so you can also get your boarding passes at that point as well and sign up for flight status alerts. I like to sign up for both myself and anybody that may be picking me up on the other end. You never know when communications go down between you and your cell phone and the party, so you don't want somebody driving in a raging snowstorm to pick you up at the airport and not have you arrive.
We often hear in the news report all the people waiting at the airlines. Invariably, people go and they don't check in. Is that getting better? Are people becoming more savvy, or do they still just show up blindly at the airports?
They're getting a little more savvy. I wish it was more, but a lot of people do show up because they're hoping to make that flight, right? It's sort of hope against hope. I still want to fly, and you're sort of the mercy of the airlines, and that's why people show up. I will caution people, when you do sign up for flight status alerts, if it says your flight's delayed 2 hours, you still have to go to the airport at the same original time. It's there for informational purposes because sometimes they undelay those flights, and then you're on the hook for the changes that may occur.
So are there any resources or apps that flyers can get to help with this area?
Yeah, no, I have two favorites that I'm not even affiliated with. Flight Stats and Flight Aware have great information. You could download their app. You can check out their websites. They're essentially monitoring flights, looking at airports. They have some nice maps on there. You can see what's happening with the airport. I always check those maps out in the morning to see if potential issues are going to occur. And also the airlines themselves have flight status alerts. Mostly that's through email and text message, not so much on their native apps. Some do, some don't. So be sure and sign up for those things as well.
The FlightAware is a really good software. We use that in the newsroom to track flights, especially when we see there's going to be an emergency in flight or something. They track those in almost real time, don't they?
Yeah, and the feature that I like the most on both those apps is actually knowing which of the flights incoming to your airport. So if you're at the airport, you can actually track the incoming flight that you'll be flying on next, and you can see if that flight's delayed. It's always good to do that. They don't always send flight status alerts at the same time, so you just track that inbound flight and see if it's coming in on time.
Rick, I know you monitor this very closely. We haven't seen any official reports yet, at least I'm not aware of any. How did the airlines do last year?
Oh, you mean in a variety of different ways, they've gotten better with their statistics. Now, they're going to be counting these statistics in a different way coming in 2017. Things like mishandled baggage, they're actually going to divide it by the number of bags instead of the number of passengers. So we'll have to see, because we have some new metrics on some of these things. But for the most part, airlines did better sort of across the board in their metrics of on-time departures and arrivals. Some of that has to do with, Mother Nature being cooperative in the last, especially in the latter part of the year and in the summertime as well. So compared to a few other years, some of it also has to do with the fact that they just haven't added a bunch of capacity back that we had in 2007, 2008, 10% below where we were at those levels. And by the way, there's more passengers flying, so that means every seat's completely full.
And financially, they did okay as well as the...
Oh, yeah. Windfall profits with billions of dollars of profits. That's actually fairly good for consumers to have airlines. They're bringing back coach meals coast to coast in some cases. They've upgraded their food programs, they're spending money on airports, they're buying new aircraft. These are all good things for passengers. Now, unfortunately, ticket prices haven't come down too much, except for traveling into Europe. So this is the year to try to fly to Europe. If you want to get a price during the spring and summer, it's probably going to be the cheapest in over a decade.
Yeah, and the dollar is really strong as well. So get us out of town cheaply.
Yeah, no, I was actually looking at a variety of things. Now, the next 5 weeks or so up until President's Day weekend, there's plenty of deals to be had. If you're heading down to the south, and I'm just looking at nonstop flights, Orlando, Miami, under $160 round trip, pretty much anytime you want to fly. You also have Vegas, Los Angeles, San Diego, all under $160 round trip. San Francisco a little bit more at $195 round trip. If you want to head out to the Northeast Corridor, Boston, New York, Washington D.C., all in the $130 to $140 round trip range. Those are some unbelievable prices. Will be the cheapest during this zone, except for the first 2 weeks in December that we have all year long.
Happy New Year, Rick, and happy travels.
Okay, happy New Year too.
Rick Cini is the founder and CEO of Fair Compare. You can find more at faircompare.com. Follow at Fair Compare on Twitter, and you can follow Rick at Rick Cini.
720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It is 5:49 on this Friday edition of the Opening Bell. Glad to have you along on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. Dow futures pointing toward a lower open on Wall Street later this morning, off about 13. NASDAQ futures are higher. S&P futures are a little bit lower. World markets generally mixed. In Europe, it was a rough night. All of the euros pointing downward. Little mixed night in Asia. The Nikkei, however, down. And in Hong Kong, we're seeing lower numbers as well. Let's get the latest on commodities and agriculture now. And good morning, Orion Samuelson. Happy New Year, sir.
Well, happy New Year to you, too. And greetings from the Valley of the Sun, where I just heard your temperature is going to be zero. We're at 60 degrees this morning, which is a little cool for the desert, but certainly better than zero.
Don't rub it in.
No, I'm not. Yeah. Not for a moment. I'm enjoying it.
So. Yeah, right. So did you have a good holiday, good New Year and everything?
Had a very good New Year, very quiet, because we were in the city of Pasadena getting ready for the coverage of the Rose Parade, which again was one of the highlights of my year, because that event just gets better every year. They put together a parade and run it with military precision, and everything worked. It was a little bit on the cool side, cloudy, but no rain, because the rain moved through Pasadena, I think, about a day before the Rose Parade took place. So we had a good time.
And so maybe you can settle a debate I had with one of my friends about this, Ori. And I said that all of those floats are still made with flowers, all of them, aren't they? Or no?
There can be nothing artificial on any of those floats. Even material that looks like sand had to come from the hulls of almonds and various other nuts. You cannot put anything artificial. It is a major industry for the floral industry in Southern California, because The day the parade ended, they start planning next year's floats. There are about four companies that build the floats in Pasadena. And there are still a few that build their own, some of the organizations. But everything must, as I said, the basis of the Rose Parade is agriculture. Can't do anything fake or phony on any of the floats. It all has to come from the soil.
And as somebody who's watched this every year, I can only imagine, but maybe you can confirm this or not, do you smell the flowers when the floats go by?
Not really. Of course, you know, we're up on the top of the bleachers with our booth, so no, I don't. I'm sure if you're on street level and right there, you can smell them, because I think 18 million flowers were used in the Rose Parade this year, and so many of those flowers are put in by, I've seen volunteers pin rose petals on the floats, and all of the flowers have to be kept fresh. When the parade is over, they take them down to the Rose Bowl area, so that people for the next 5 or 6 days can visit them and take a look at them. But the imagination, I think the one float that got the most attention this year was the surfing dogs. I talked to more people who loved the surfing dogs. And the other, well, there's so many interesting things about this parade and the history, because it started in the 1880s before motorized floats and before tractors and trucks were available. So it was a horse parade. And they, at the end of the first block, have to make a complete right turn. And when you have a float that's 125 feet long, the other interesting thing to watch are the bands. And they were huge this year, 400 students in high school bands, and watching them turn the corner, where the inside marchers have to just march in place and the outside rows have to really step it off to get around that corner. And then they're on their 5.5 mile journey for the parade.
Well, Orion, I know we've talked about this in the past, but it looks like we might finally have a secretary designate for the Department of Agriculture. Reuters reporting it's former Georgia Governor Sonny Perdue. What do you know about Sonny?
I know that he served two terms as governor earlier in the decade, and then he went into agribusiness in Georgia, I think running a fertilizer and seed company. That is about all I know. People have been asking if he related to the Perdue chicken family. To my knowledge, he is not. This is a different Perdue family coming out of Georgia. I know he has a lot of agriculture in his background. I guess one of the interesting things, if it happens this week here in the Valley of the Sun, the American Farm Bureau Federation will be holding its annual convention. And the president of the American Farm Bureau, elected last year, is Zippy Duval from Georgia. So we could end up with a Farm Bureau president and a Secretary of Agriculture both coming from the same state, and that I will find interesting. But I've never met the governor of Perdue, and so I'm looking, if it's him, looking forward to it, because we do spend time throughout the year getting together with the secretary, and at least he has a knowledge of agriculture. I don't know about his trade knowledge, because that's going to be critical. Whoever is the secretary is going to have to be a very strong individual to stand up to at least what we have heard about the thinking on trade and trade agreements from President-elect Trump. And so I'm hoping we have a Secretary of Agriculture who can convince the president that without trade, agriculture in this country just could not exist at the level it does now, because we'd have to shut down half the farms and ranches in this country if we were to not get involved in trade anymore, and we just can't afford that. So.
And, you know, Orin, we've been hearing a lot about trade with some of these trade agreements, and Donald Trump seems to be maybe instigating a trade war with China, and most of this discussion has been on cars, but when you start renegotiating trade deals for cars, it's going to have a ripple effect on all different industries, including agriculture, isn't it?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, anytime you deal with a specific product or a commodity, yes, you're going to impact the rest of agriculture, because I've said it many times, Steve, that 95% of the population on the planet lives outside our borders, and our farmers and ranchers are so great at the ability to produce that we have to trade, we have to export. And agriculture continues to be the one segment of the economy that does have a positive balance of trade. And it's not just the corn and the soybeans and all of the other products we export. It's the jobs in transportation, barge operators, truck drivers, and people who work at the ports with the ships. Tremendous number of jobs that are provided by the agricultural exports that we do. And they're predicting that in the year 2017, $134 billion of agricultural products will go overseas.
Orion, good chatting with you. Enjoy the 60-degree weather out there. We'll save a little bit of this frigid weather for you when you come to town.
All right, and I welcome all the Farm Bureau members to the Valley of the Sun. We'll try to warm it up for them just a little bit.
All right, Orion Samuelson, thank you very much. It's 5:57 on the opening bell. Now, before we leave you, we want to just update what might be coming today on the market calendar. This is the Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Friday, January 6, 2017. We'll get that big jobs report coming up at 7:30 Chicago time today. Also, the U.S. International Trade in Goods and Services report comes out at 7:30 as well. Manufacturing shipments, inventories, and orders today. CES, day two of the big global electronics show, continues out in Las Vegas. Lots of cool things being talked about there. We will also see today the joint session of Congress confirmed. Convened, rather, to confirm Donald Trump as the election winner from the Electoral College. All of those things could drive the markets today, and we'll continue to follow your money throughout the morning right here on 720 WGN. And we'll be back bright and early on Monday morning with another edition of The Opening Bell. Until then, I'm Steve Grzanich. Have a great day, a great weekend.